Hey y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. Happy Hump Day. All right, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai, Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, on this magical Wednesday afternoon. It is Christmas Eve in the Wiley household. The stork is coming to visit tomorrow. And if my memory serves me, Olivia, is that the baby name, I believe, Marcellus?
Yes, my wife, big fan of the show, watched it yesterday, and I said it was Olivia, which it is, and she's like, make sure you tell them it's Olivia with an A. In our family, everyone has to be named with an A or M. So my wife is happy now, and tomorrow we go into the hospital. Let's make it happen, brother.
Well, good luck with that. I'm sure it'll turn out great. And Olivia, welcome to the party. Welcome to Speak for Yourself. All right, Marcellus,
easy.
Let's move to Cam Newton. Cam Newton officially released yesterday. He's already responded over social media to his release, channeling his inner Jason Whitlock, saying he's free and he's hungry. I know exactly how he feels. He says, no pity, just work. Marcellus, I want to know from you, do you buy that Cam Newton, coming off this embarrassment of being released by the Carolina Panthers, will he be all in on football moving forward?
Man, I've already purchased that. I got the receipts to show that Cam Newton has always been all in on football. It's unfortunate that there is a narrative out there. A lot of times people want to marry effort and achievement, and then they exaggerate that and take it to a place that I think is really dangerous, where people say, oh, Cam Newton is blessed by the gods, and just because of his physical nature, he just rolls out the bed and is Cam Newton. People don't understand the work it takes to just be on a football team, a scrub, a sorry guy, the Gatorade passer, let alone a starter, let alone a Pro Bowl, all pro, let alone the MVP of the entire league. Cam Newton has always been all in on football. Now, he's had greater aspirations or other things that he was interested in as well, but that shouldn't be an indictment on his effort and his commitment to the game of football. Being a guy who was lesser of a football player than Cam Newton, I still gave him my all and didn't reach the same heights as him. So I respect Cam Newton and his work ethic. Is he going to be all in? Is he going to be hungry? Is he going to be appreciative and humbled by this experience? Absolutely. But let's not act like the MVP wasn't all in before.
All right, listen, he's been all in at times, I'm sure. It's just like me and my diet. A lot of days I'm all in, some days I'm not. And again, on a more serious note, I'm going to reference a coach that you and I both know well, Marty Schottenheimer. Marty Schottenheimer used to say in Kansas City all the time, I can remember when Neil Smith, great defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe in like 1997, they may have let Neil go, or 96 at some point. And Marty's question about Neil Smith, Neil opened a restaurant in Kansas City and it was a little nightclub at night as well. Great Louisiana restaurant he brought to Kansas City. And Marty's question was, hey, man, you can only serve one master. You can't serve two. You can't be a restaurateur and a great football player in terms of the kind of money you want to get paid and continue to be paid. And I'll never forget that. And this is how coaches think. And so when I look at Cam Newton with the fashion, with the hairstyle, with just everything, with him saying at the combine when he came out, I want to be a global icon. Football isn't enough for everybody. Football wasn't enough for me as a mediocre mid-major college football player. My coaches used to look at me and be like, oh, man, this football thing ain't enough for you. And it wasn't. And there were some guys, again, you don't want to be too smart or too ambitious and you can run yourself out of football, because football is best played by people without options or believe this is the only thing that matters to them in their lives. And that's why guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady reach such high levels, Ray Lewis, guys like that. And so to me, for Cam Newton, I've never felt on a consistent basis, was he ever all in on football? I think right now he's motivated, he's embarrassed. How long will that last? I'll start believing Cam's all in on football. And I say this in all seriousness, when he cuts his hair.
My God. you know what's funny about this? These items of perception that we use to now throw on him as it weighs him down in terms of his success and his career, which is really unfortunate. With, like, let's be real about this. Like, whatever Cam Newton is interested in terms of fashion and wearing scarves or whatever rapper he wants to dress like,
Mary Poppins,
that doesn't cause a Liz Frank injury. Like, let's be real. That doesn't throw your shoulder out because you dress like ASAP Rocky. Like, they don't go together, but they're easy and convenient narratives for us on the outside to attach and map to him. I always tell you the story of when I started DJing day one of my NFL career. And as I climbed the mountain, I kept DJing. And when I was getting 10 sacks and 13 sacks and being a part of the franchise as one of the faces, DJing, owners are telling me, can you DJ my party? I'm doing ESPYs, everything. And then when you start to decline, they say, oh, he wasn't focused. He was distracted by the DJing. I DJed when I was in the Pro Bowl, but now it's a problem. So I think it's just a convenient reason for us to say someone is in decline because of X. We always got to attach blame. But in this situation, the two don't correlate. He's all in. His success has shown us. His ability has shown us. And now he just needs an opportunity to continue to show us.
Listen, I'm going to take Michael Jordan, who I think is the most accomplished individual athlete, you know, other than Tom Brady, maybe ever, or he's right there with anybody. Michael Jordan wasn't always consistently all in because he had so much talent. He could party harder. He could gamble harder. He could push the envelope in his personal life. And he certainly built an amazing business with Nike and the Air Jordan shoes and all that. But there was great synergy to me in terms of what Michael Jordan did, in terms of being a guy that people wanted to play with and play for, the partying, the gambling and all that. That goes along with locker room camaraderie. Selling Nike shoes, that's all part of his basketball vision. That's a part of him being a great basketball player. I think you can have other endeavors and still achieve at the highest level as an athlete. But with Cam, when to me, the whole fashion thing and just how far he takes it, it doesn't work at that position from a leadership perspective. I don't have a problem with Cam wanting to do other things. There's a time and a place for it. And right now, in the middle of his, he's only 31, 32 years old. Right now, in the middle of his career, I think all of these guys should be trying to max out at the quarterback position as football players, because there's so much enormous wealth to be garnered from it. I don't think you need all the other outside activities. This isn't 1978 or 1974 when Lenny Dawson had to be a television reporter at the same time he was putting together a Hall of Fame football career. Cam, to me, has never fully committed to the game of football, and it's going to be a shame. He's going to have a nice career. He's been an MVP of the league. He's played in the Super Bowl. He's made a bunch of money. Has he lived up to his full potential? And I get it. The injuries are definitely a part of it. That's maybe 60% of the reason why he may not accomplish all that he could. But this other 40% that's out there, I think some of it has to do with his lack of focus and not being all in.
Wow. 2015, he wins the MVP. 2018, he puts himself in the running for another MVP. How many multiple MVPs are walking around on this planet? He puts himself in that conversation and gets injured. And all of a sudden, we say, what outfit was he wearing? Because that's the issue right there. Versus, I play with guys who didn't leave the house, all in on football, eat, sleep, drink football. And coach, when the guy was struggling, coach would come to him and say, you know what you need to do? Relax a little bit. You need to get out a little bit. Hang with the guys. Go have wings and beers with the guys. It never is enough when you're not successful. So whatever your behavior is, whatever your attributes are, if you're successful, we're fine with it. Russell Westbrook, dress how you want as long as you're out there getting triple doubles. When you have a problem with someone or an issue or the team is not doing as well, all of a sudden we start looking at his V-necks a little different. I think Cam is just falling victim to another cosmetic response to what his game is. He's been injured. No one can predict will he be healthy or injured again. But we need to stop indicting him in terms of his work ethic and in terms of his talent, because when the guy is healthy, the guy is all world.
All right, Marcel, we don't have as much time, but I do want to address this about Cam Newton. What's the next best landing spot for Cam Newton? I think there's an obvious, clear choice out there. I think Cam Newton to the Miami Dolphins and Brian Flores is a home run opportunity for Cam Newton. I think it's a potential home run opportunity for the Miami Dolphins. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a guy that, you know, you can't really build around that. The Dolphins would like to draft Tua Tagovailoa. That gives Cam an opportunity to go play for a team that really finished the season well last year, has made some really nice moves this offseason. I would love to see Cam Newton down with Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins. I think they could do some things in a division that's up for grabs. And if Cam can't grab that position and be their quarterback for the future, I think he'd go down there and have a great year. Tua red shirts basically this year. That's what he'd like to do. And then set Cam up to go someplace else for big money the following year. I love Cam in Miami.
I love that destination as well. But that will be my plan B. Miami is a great situation. You talked about the quarterback room right now, how Cam could really stand out and help that team continue to establish their culture and winning ways. But there's one place better. And I know we're all out here participating in social distancing, but I'm sitting right where Cam Newton needs to be next year in Los Angeles as a Charger. He can stay in my pool house right here. I'll go inside. We'll figure out what we'll do this show. But Cam Newton needs to be a Charger. This is a top 10 offense, Whitlock. This is a 6th-ranked defense that has added players to the defensive and offensive side. If you talk about Pro Bowl starters on the offensive line, like a Trey Turner, and then you talk about adding Chris Harris Jr., this is a team that's gotten better and was 12-4 last time we saw them fully healthy. And they have a parallel understanding of what injuries can do to you and your reputation. 12-4 a couple years ago, 2018, and then we saw last year a team that was 5-5, and then the wheels fell off. Well, Cam Newton, 2018, he's 6-2 as a starter, MVP candidate. And then the injuries occurred and the wheels fell off. I think this is a marriage that is made in heaven for both of those guys to get back to where they are, which is very talented roster and player that can get over the hump together.
Are you an active person? Do you like running, weightlifting, hiking, paddleboarding? If you're looking for something that can give you a natural edge to be better and get more out of your favorite activities, you should try Beat Elite from Human. Human Beat Elite can help extend endurance, improve energy and stamina, and increase oxygen delivery throughout the body. Beat Elite focuses on blood flow and oxygen transport, helping optimize your workouts. There's no more feeling strain in your legs or burning your lungs, making it an awesome product to integrate into your training routines. Beat Elite is trusted by hundreds of elite teams, athletes, and organizations all over the world. So you know you're getting a top-notch performance product. Try it yourself and feel the difference. Do what I did. Take your game to the next level with Beat Elite by going to livehuman.com/speak and get 20% off your first purchase. The team at Human is making this offer exclusive to Speak for Yourself listeners only. You won't find a deal like this anywhere else. That's livehuman.com/speak. livehuman.com/speak.
All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. All right, we're going to go out to Denver and visit our man Stink, Mark Slarin. Mark, welcome to the show. You heard Marcellus argue the L.A. Chargers are the best landing spot for Cam Newton. I say the Miami Dolphins are. What say you?
Well, I think if you want to go right to a place where you're going to start right off the bat, or at least have a chance to compete for a starting job, I like the Chargers. Also like Jacksonville. You know, can you beat out Gardner Minshew? I think you can. You know, but that may be a mess. I really like the Miami Dolphins, but I still think they're going to probably draft Tua, and you're going to be holding the seat for Tua if they do draft him at whatever it is, 3, 4, 5 overall, whatever the Miami Dolphins have. So I do like your chance to compete for the Chargers, also for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the bottom line with Cam Newton is he's no longer in a position, in my mind, to come out there and say, I'm the starter. You're going to have to compete and earn that starting job.
All right, let's move on. Marcellus, big story in the NFL, a disagreement among NFL general managers and I think NFL ownership about what should be done with the NFL draft in late April. I think a lot of general managers would like to delay the draft perhaps a month because there were some teams are forbidden from going into the facility and preparing. They don't feel like they're going to be able to test all the players the way they would in a normal draft. Marcellus, do you agree with some NFL general managers who would like to see the NFL draft delayed a month?
No, I don't. I don't agree with them. To be frank and to be real about it, going through the draft process as I did before, right now the coronavirus didn't interrupt the draft process. It just interrupted GMs from second and third guessing themselves through this process. I think they all need to grab a copy of Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, and understand how you can make snap, critical decisions pretty fast if you know what you're looking for and you know what you want. It's just amazing right now that we're really going to attach what's going on in our world and say, hey, I've seen 3, 4 years of film on this guy, and I saw him at the combine, but you know what I really need? I really need to go to his facilities, let him knock it out the park in his comfortable environment, in a tank top and shorts, if he wears a tank top. And just, oh, that really solidifies my decision on who to draft. They know who to draft. They know who they want. They know where they're slotted. Make a decision. How many times do you need to see exactly what you want if that's what you want? I don't think you should delay it any farther.
Mark, thank God you're here. You've got actual Super Bowl experience. Marcellus has none. Please set Marcellus straight.
Right? No, I totally agree with Marcellus. I'm like, this is nothing more than an excuse. This is nothing more than an excuse not to do your work. Like, listen, man, put on the film. The film will tell you if a guy can play or not. You know what this is? This is a bunch of people that want to go poke and prod and go through physicals and do all those things so they have more information so they can quantify whether a guy can play or not. And so they can build in an excuse if a guy doesn't play well, say, hey, it wasn't me. Look, he ran a great 40. He did the bench press a bunch of times. He was great in his individual workout when we went to his, when we went to his school, and it's our coaches that can't get it done. So we can fire coaches, rehire new coaches, and I never have to lose my job. Like, that's how I look at this. Do your job. Study the film. The film will tell you whether a guy can play or whether a guy can't play. You don't need any more than that. And I'm 100% with Marcellus. This is nothing more than quantifying your opinion as a general manager so you don't have to, or a scout, so you don't have to take any responsibility for drafting garbage. Hey, still at this point in the NFL, the first round is still a 50-50 crapshoot. 50% of the guys flame out and don't ever play well. Like, oh, you need this extra time to be 50%? Last time I checked, 50% when I was in school was an F.
Could both of you guys do me a favor after this show? Please go to chess.com and sign up because I want to play both of y'all in a game of chess. Y'all love making snap decisions. Y'all love not thinking about anything. They're making the biggest decisions of their lives. General managers and these executives, their careers on the line when they do blow these picks. They want to be able to sit down face-to-face and interview these guys in as much detail as possible. You're about to hand young people a bunch of money, and you think you don't want extra time to think about it or the normal amount of time to think about it before you draft somebody really high in the draft, hand him millions of dollars. and then figure out, oh, my God, this guy's a nut job or this guy isn't going to do the right thing with it. Of course they should delay the draft a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, a month, something to give these guys the normal preparation. If you think they blow it 50% of the time with the normal prep, what do you think they're going to do with less prep? Maybe they blow 75% of their picks. I can't believe both. I'm shocked that both of you guys think this is a silly suggestion to delay the NFL draft. But let me move on to my other favorite topic, Antonio Brown, and the possibility of him joining Tom Brady down in Tampa. This has always been rumored about that AB and Tom Brady want to play together, same place. I happen to think it would be a mistake. I think they have an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position in Tampa. I don't know if adding AB would be the right move. Marcellus, do you think AB to Tampa, does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. From every level, on the field, off the field as well, if you think about it. AB and his relationship with Tom Brady, I think everyone knows that they have a good relationship and they work well on the field together, which is even more important. But also, what's going to surround AB in the locker room, in the meeting room, on that field? And there are two people in charge that I know that AB would have to have tremendous respect for. And that's Bruce Arians. Everyone knows his personality. Oh, you better not mess with Sue. Sue on the one-year deal, so you know what? Sue ain't all in. It's Bruce Arians, and it's really Byron Leftwich, my former teammate, who is a real good guy, who doesn't just say what you want to hear, but also is nuanced enough and sophisticated enough to deal with all types. I know him very well, and he's a tremendous guy in that locker room, a tremendous presence. I think that's going to give AB stability and a receiving room in terms of that core receivers, Godwin, Evans, that AB has to walk in and stay on his toes to keep up with those guys. I think that's a great situation, not a hindrance, but a blessing that AB has to still go into a room, not look around and say, it's me or nothing. It's me and other guys who can get this thing going as well. Let me show you on my best behavior that I'm still AB, a future Hall of Famer.
Slareth, you there?
Stinky Dinky Dog.
Yeah, I am here, man. Listen, as far as AB is concerned for me, there are 32 places where he's a wonderful fit if he's just under control, because that dude is a guy that you just flat out can't cover. So he's a great fit from that scenario, his ability. Bruce Arians is a three wide receiver guy. He wants three wides on the field most of the time. So I think that's a great fit. Chris Godwin is one of the most complete football players I've watched play. His ability to block and be invested in doing the dirty work. I love all that stuff about you know, the fit there. So I just think he has to go somewhere where he's got such respect for the people around him. And there's nobody that he respects more in this league, obviously, than Tom Brady. Bruce Arians is another guy that I think demands respect from his players. I think it's a perfect fit for AB.
I'm blown away. I'm listening to this. I just want y'all to think this through. And I'm saying this in all seriousness. It sounds like a joke, but I'm being dead serious. I've seen AB on video talking crazy to women who've had his child. If when we start talking about respect, AB doesn't respect anybody. And it's nice that he and Tom Brady get along, but this dude is the ultimate wild card. And I think, to me, dropping him into a receiving room that has guys that are that good and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I think that could really blow up. The guy couldn't get along with Juju Smith-Schuster, and he's much better than Juju. What's he going to do when these guys are in the prime of their career, maybe at this point just as good as Antonio Brown? I think that could be a very volatile situation. That's a me guy that just sat out a year, had his Hall of Fame credentials damaged. He's going to come into that situation desperate and wanting the football and wanting to put up the numbers he's used to, and it probably just won't happen in Tampa because there's an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position, and Tom Brady's going to throw the ball to the appropriate place, not to the guy that's complaining the loudest. I think that could be a very volatile situation for Antonio. I just don't think Tampa with their receivers is the right spot for Antonio Brown.
Now, the same reason you say that it's a bad place, I think it's an amazing place, because what really happened in Pittsburgh in terms of Juju Smith was the relationship with Ben Roethlisberger eroding, and then Juju Smith benefiting from that eroding relationship. And Antonio's like, hey, wait a minute. That's when owner's mentality comes in, when he's talking about his relationship with his quarterback. In this situation, Tom Brady wouldn't play him to the left. Therefore, he wouldn't have that anger, and that wouldn't be his issue. I think Antonio, the competitor in him, says, I'm better than everybody. But even if you don't give me all of the throws and I don't get all my numbers, at least it's because you think that guy is good, or that guy was open. It's not you're trying to be passive aggressive with me, therefore helping someone else out that doesn't necessarily deserve it in those moments.
I think there's one guy that has been on Antonio Brown's side this whole time, and that one guy is Tom Brady. And he has respect for Tom. He may not respect anybody else in the world, but Tom Brady has had his back since day one, and that's the one guy I think he would acquiesce to.
Look around you. It's a wireless world, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. And Raycon's latest model, E25, is their best one yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable and perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Snoop Dogg and J.R. Smith are obsessed with the brand. Pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/speak. That's buyraycon.com/speak for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/speak.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. So obviously we're all stuck at the crib right now with the coronavirus impacting us, not only here in the U.S., but all across the world as well. I see you joking, Marcellus. But one thing I keep hearing about is this toilet paper shortage. I don't get it at all. So first off, I want to ask you guys, can you explain to me why this is going on? And then also, just in more generally speaking, how are you guys preparing for the coronavirus lockdown?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Darnell, because they call me Mr. Whipple in my neighborhood here in my apartment here on Wilshire. I have 58 rolls of toilet paper here.
58?
And I completely understand the toilet paper shortage scare. And because, listen, man, if you get locked down, if they say you can't leave your house for 30 days, what do you want to wipe with? Charmin? Or do you want to wipe with some T-shirt you got to wash? This is so easy to understand. But listen, if anybody runs short, Marcellus Darnell, your boy's got you right here. I got 58 rolls. 57 and a half. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's what I need. Yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind when I was like, I'm about to be trapped in my house for 30 days. Man, you know how many old T-shirts I got from the Buffalo Bills and Chargers? Hey, if it gets tight over here, all that swag, them Fox T-shirts, oh, that's going to be brown. Let me say this. I think, man, we are big kids. Let me try to put my psychologist hat on. We are big kids. They always say, if you really want to know what's going on with you, ask the five-year-old within you, right? So I remember when I was five, I didn't get in too much trouble. I mean, you're just full of energy. Your mama say, sit down. No, you can't have that. But then there was one thing that always struck us, especially as boys, as young kids. Mama would check my underwear. Mama would check for the, hey, boy, like, you need a wipe. I remember just, like, I'm still in shock of how many times my mama said, boy, it looked like a train just ran through your underwear. So I think that there's just a huge phobia of mamas out there yelling that we need to make sure we good. That's as good as I can come up with. That's all I got.
Darnell, I got to respond to that because since it's confession time, yeah. That is definitely my motivation because, and my mama can tell you right now, they didn't get me under control in terms of going to the potty until I was in fourth grade. You talking to a man that boo-booed in his pants all the way up to fourth grade. I'm just keeping it real. So, yeah, that's why I have 58 rolls of toilet paper. be prepared. But on a more serious note, and that is serious, that's true confession, I also have 30. I had 36 gallons of water here at my apartment as well. So, look, in terms of water and toilet paper, I've been totally prepared. In terms of food, I cut down to one meal a day right before the coronavirus thing hit. So I felt like God was looking out for me and put me on a diet that works for the coronavirus.
Maybe so. Right, you probably don't need the toilet paper, Whitlock. You eat one time a day.
Exactly. You ain't going to need it. I'm going to say a few things. One, Darnell, I don't know what you've been doing, but your head is filling up that entire box like I've never seen it before. So you might need to let something out, whatever you got clogged up. Whitlock, I didn't do number two in the fourth grade, but I didn't stop wetting the bed till I was 13 years old, man. So I don't know if I got you beat because it was only number one. You number two, and so I believe that alone. Man, y'all know me, man. I partied so hard in my 20s and 30s, man. That DJing life and just being from LA, and I lived through that. So the last 4 or 5 years, I really have become a homebody. And right now, it's almost government law to stay at home. So I really feel like outside of the commute to work or to take my kids to school, this is normal day-to-day in terms of having three young kids in this house. And it really feels like things are kind of normal for us. We fill the pantry, and then we just start ordering some takeout, trying not to eat up all our pantry food right now. But if you take your time to go out there and look for some essentials, outside of toilet paper, because Whitlock got that on lock, it's still kind of normal out there.
Darnell, I don't have a screen, so I can't see you, what you look like. But I do want to give you this warning, Darnell. When we come back to the Fox lot in the studio, whenever that is, next week, following week, Easter, whatever, don't make the mistake of having me show up looking better than you. That's going to be your worst day on this planet, brother.
That's the least of my worries, Whitlock.
We're going to the parade.
I ain't worried about that, Whit.
That
at all.
Well, I would be worried. All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, on a wonderful Wednesday hump day across America. Hope you're enjoying the show. All right, let's go out to LeVar Arrington's crib. LeVar, you just heard me and Marcellus give Darnell some advice on handling the coronavirus lockdown.
Yeah.
How did you prepare for this lockdown?
You know, this is how I prepared for my lockdown, guys. You can multitask with this, okay? Everybody talks about drinking their sanitizer. No, you don't drink your sanitizer. You get you a nice jug of wine and you clean up things while you have a sip. I mean, that's just how I'm working over here. You already know, Marcellus. You know what I mean?
Getting your drink.
I'm going to get 58 rolls. I'm going to get 58 gallons of that oil, not no paper towels or some toilet tissue.
If I go out, right, I want to go out on like that.
Indeed.
Let's move on to Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans and a silly rumor, in my opinion, that somehow Deshaun Watson could end up with the New England Patriots. This has all been fueled over social media, of course. Tyler Conway of Bleacher Report tweeted out some Drake lyric and had a picture of Bill Belichick on the phone that kind of insinuated that Belichick may be trying to swing a deal for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, because he's bored, liked the tweet. And so now people are like, is there some truth here? Could DeAndre Hopkins departing Houston have caused Deshaun Watson to want out of Houston? Is this rumor silly or is there substance to it, Marcellus?
It's silly overall. There is a little substance in respect that if you're Deshaun Watson, obviously you lose Hopkins and you don't even get fair value for him. You have to feel a certain way about that, and it's not good. But at the same time, you wanting out is not the same as another team wanting you there, especially the New England Patriots, who are not a quarterback away from getting over the hump. Let's just be real. Tom Brady's not there. Whoever's on the roster, whether it's Stidham or whatever they draft, that's what they're going to roll with because they are not a quarterback away. They're weapons away. We're talking about receivers, running backs. They're weapons. They need or tight end. They need an arsenal that will support a quarterback, and then they're a quarterback away. But this leaky water hose, not one piece of tape is going to fix it in New England. And even if it's as great as Deshaun Watson, he's not going to be enough.
LeVar?
I think there's great validity to it. I think when we've already found out from the way O'Brien is handling things that he doesn't want something or somebody distracting or taking away from his leadership within that organization. And this DeAndre Hopkins situation could have spurned or facilitated, you know, Deshaun Watson feeling a certain type of way, possibly speaking on levels that may make Bill O'Brien uncomfortable. We know that they're not a quarterback away in New England, but if you get a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, you're certainly closer to being where you're trying to be with him there versus trying to figure out who the quarterback of the future is going to be. So, you know, with a tinfoil hat on and you know, sitting here with my conspiracy theory, Bill O'Brien has ultimately placed himself in a situation where he may end up losing his job off of this DeAndre Hopkins situation. He's going to end up back in New England at some point anyway with like Marcellus, right? So why not send your quarterback there before you get kicked out and you go be his offensive coordinator the rest of the way?
That's the best point you made, is that there is a bullseye on Bill O'Brien. And it's not just about DeAndre Hopkins. You got to remember, he gave up major assets last year to get Laremy Tunstall over there. Mm-hmm. And people thought that was a bad trade. Him working as head coach, general manager, in a lot of people's minds, has been a disaster. However, there's no one in Houston, no one, who would allow this man to send Deshaun Watson to the New England Patriots. What would the Patriots have to offer? The McCourty brothers, Tom Brady's Hall of Fame plaque, Ty Law's Hall of Fame plaque. Well, I mean, seriously, Deshaun Watson is perhaps the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes. And that's not that close, but it's the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes. And you're going to send him to New England? Are you kidding me? No way in hell. This is a silly rumor, LeVar. I can't believe you're giving this a moment's worth of credibility.
If we would have said that about DeAndre Hopkins, we would have said that's a silly rumor. We would say it's a silly rumor.
No. A diva wide receiver getting traded? That happens. Listen, the ghost of David Stern would come back and stop this trade. It would be just like the Chris Paul trade if they tried to move Deshaun Watson to New England Patriots. Football fans would have the right to riot. I mean, to riot. You're going to hand Bill Belichick Deshaun Watson in his prime, a guy with that kind of character, that kind of pizzazz, that kind of commitment to the game. This is silly talk over social media. Deshaun Watson just having some fun. Marcellus, I know you agree with me.
Yeah. You had me when you said pizzazz. I was like, ain't no way they're going to let somebody with pizzazz out of Houston. So, no, I'm with you, man. But, you know, it's weird. We live in a time where Stephon Diggs goes on Twitter because he's unhappy in Minnesota. He's been there for a while unhappy. And because of that, other teams got interested and started to make the trade, and they got a first rounder for Stephon Diggs, who's great. But Hopkins is more, and they didn't get the same fair value back. So which way is up in Houston right now is a conversation. So as crazy as this sounds, is this as crazy as Houston is acting right now? So who knows how it could play out?
All right, let's move to another topic very quickly here. Jameis Winston,
He's on the block. The Tampa Bay's moved on from him. What's a better landing spot for Jameis Winston? The Pittsburgh Steelers or the New England Patriots? I can see the Patriots having some interest in Jameis Winston. Which one would be a better landing spot, Steelers or Patriots?
Ah, man, this is such a tight one. They both have benefits, pros and cons. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Before I say that, though, I just want everyone to know that when I get released or not picked up by a team, I know it sounds great that, oh, I'm going to go make some calls for you and talk in good favor of you, but the best favor is not talking about me, is actually doing something for me. So I don't know if teams receive that with a grain of salt, because if Jameis Winston was all that, at least make some form of offer, even if you got Tom Brady, because Brady's not playing forever. That said, Pittsburgh, one, the backup has been getting exposure more so with the injury to Ben Roethlisberger. Two, the situation in terms of having a strong defense that's going to keep you in these games is going to be a great situation. New England this year, we know offensively they're going to be challenged, and defensively we thought that they were a little overhyped, a little worse than the numbers suggested. So Pittsburgh just seems like a more solid opportunity, and maybe an opportunity, a glimpse of hope to get an old Roethlisberger out of there sooner than later.
LeVar?
Yeah, I think it's easily Pittsburgh. I think it's a softer landing point for Jameis Winston. If you're looking at the history and the ability to take a quarterback and give him an opportunity after having a career somewhere else, I mean, Mike Vick is the first name that comes to mind for me, and taking a interesting situation from his past and turning it into a positive one. We keep talking about Jameis
Winston.
Hold
for a second, LeVar. For a second. There's major news has happened. Major news has happened. Listening to both you and Marcellus talk, now concluded Bill Belichick has retired. Bill Belichick has retired because, I mean, clearly going to play for the coach who took a 6th-round pick and made him the greatest quarterback of all time. Oh, that's terrible. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers offer a better opportunity than that? Are you kidding me? Bill Belichick that made Tom Brady the greatest of all time, but that's not, and he's got a chance to start and not sit behind Ben Roethlisberger? Bill Belichick is retired. Okay.
Hold on, Stephen A. Whitlock. I got this, Stephen A. Whitlock. Hey, look here. It's going to be very
difficult. I ain't lost that much weight.
I know, that's right. It's going to be difficult to come in. It's not about Bill Belichick. It's about fitting into what you have to fit into after that void left by arguably the greatest football player and possibly team sports football player in general and period. So when you look at what can take place, yes, the coaching is superior. I would give you that. But if I'm looking at the opportunities that exist, I get to learn from a Hall of Famer who's on his last leg, which, by the way, I could end up starting at any given point in time during the course of the season. And I have a coach that I know for certain that I'll be able to relate to in a way where he really wants to maximize what it is that you can get out of
we gotta go.
As a player.
Thank God I brought this toilet paper with me.
Oh,
that's a lot of crap on, you just man. Pulled. Oh, spilled.
Well, if you need me to
all right,
clean
Uncle
it up,
Jimmy's around the corner.
I'm going to clean
we'll
it up.
We'll give you our approval rating for Cam Newton. Speak for yourself. Dirt! All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. All right, let's go out to Uncle Jimmy's humble abode. Uncle Jimmy, welcome to the show. Do you have a big dummy of the day?
Yes, sir, I sure do. For the first time in history, man, I'm giving out dual dummies of the day. I'm the oldest person on the show, and both of y'all is the two youngest men on the show, and both of y'all is duking and pee-peeing on yourself. What the hell wrong with y'all? That's why we have a corona.
Yes.
Y'all's nasty ass.
Very good point, Uncle Jimmy. You have any thoughts on our conversation about Cam Newton?
What's my thoughts on Cam Newton?
Do you have any thoughts about our conversation on Cam?
Cam Newton's a misunderstood brother. Cam Newton's one of them brothers that come along every now and then in a lifetime. You understand what I'm saying? Cam Newton was eating yogurt 10 years ago. We didn't know that today yogurt would be the only thing left on the shelf. You understand what I'm saying? Practicing social distancing from his barber 2.5 years ago. Okay? Now, the way things is looking to me right now, me and Cam are the only two people that are actually practicing social distancing. I don't know about you two Hollywood elitists. And as for you, my nephew, everyone's not able to have their hairdo sent in from Amazon. So how are we going to judge this brother for that?
Where did you live? What are you wearing?
Where do you live? And what
I'm wearing, going on? I'm in my personal business. Why are you worrying about mine?
All right, let me get to my Cam Newton approval rating. I'm glad we got to this week. Cam Newton, I got him at a 43. Scout team. He's falling off. He doesn't have a job, so job performance is down toward the bottom. He just got released by a team. His all-time greatness has to take a dip. I got him at a 43 scout team, Marcella.
That's a little fight to me.
Man, you see my trophy case back here? None of them have an MVP on it. Like his does. He's an all-star still, even without a job. Come on, Cam Newton. Get a job, brother. It's coming.
All right, the internet has him as an all-star as well. So they agree with you, not me. All right, that's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Yep.